This is one of those chapters that seems, at first appearance, to be real boring. But I assure you, it's not boring. Unless I make it boring, which I'll try not to do, okay? We're in Genesis chapter 21. And remember, Abraham is the father of the faithful. He is the one who taught us how to be saved by faith in Genesis 15:6. He is the one who is teaching us at this present time as we go through Genesis at this part to walk by faith and to live by faith. And God has given him every chance to do that, and he's teaching him how to do that. So in the end, he is going to truly be the father of the faithful. Now, last week I didn't mention this. I listened to a mentor of mine, and he reminded me of this. What God is doing in Abraham's life is he's knocking all the props out from under him, all of his human props. He's trying to do it through his humanness and his ingenuity and his intellect. But God wants him to trust him by faith. So he's taking away all of his idols. And remember, one of those idols that he had erected was between he and Sarah, and that is to spare his life if they went into the Canaanite country there. And his life was threatened because he was married to a beautiful wife. They had schemed together to say you're my sister. Remember that? And it worked. It worked for a long time until he ran into Abimelech. Remember, he got him. And he poured hot coals on his head. What have you done to us? You've lied to us. And so God knocked that prop out from under him. So one by one, God is knocking all the props, taking away all of the idols of Abraham, where eventually he's going to have to depend totally, thoroughly on God and God alone. And that's what he wants for us. And he'll keep on putting us through it until we learn that we have to trust him. So before we get into the text, he's going to face another little challenge tonight. God's going to take away another one of his idols. And he's going to move him toward that final exam. And I'm going to introduce you to a couple of really good words tonight that you need to remember. And I pray that when we get there, God the Holy Spirit will so etch it in your mind that you will remember it. That's my prayer. But we'll get there. Genesis, verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and sometimes word by word. And sometimes even those little words are going to be involved. So before we look at verse 1, chapter 21, let's bow in prayer. Father, it's a simple prayer tonight. We just praise and worship you. You are a God who is alone worthy of our worship because you are the living God. And Father, we pray tonight that you would allow God the Holy Spirit the freedom to teach our human spirits, those human spirits that have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ, your living word. Because we realize that your word will change our lives and conform us to the image of your Son. So help us, Father, to take it in and allow the Spirit of God to teach it to us. And thank you for Abraham and for him being the father of the faithful. And allow him to teach us another lesson tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in chapter 21. So we read in verse 1 of chapter 21, "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he said," and stop right there. Now that word "visited" is the Lord uses that word to visit, to do something special in a good way, or to judge. Those two things. So the Lord, in this case, it's to do something very special. "And the Lord visited Sarah," as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Now watch this. One of the greatest teaching assets that we have in the Bible is repetition. I don't know about you. So it needs to be repeated and repeated and repeated. That's how we learn. So God says here, and the Lord visited Sarah. And catch that word Lord, it's all caps. So we know that's the pre-incarnate Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord said to Sarah as he had spoken. Repetition. One time. Now look in verse 2. And for Sarah conceived, watch this, and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Two times he mentions it. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. God is always on time. He's never late. And he keeps his word. He keeps his promise. Now he's going to mention it a third time in Abraham in verse 3. And Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. So he mentioned it three times so we'd get it. Let me read it again. The Lord visited Sarah and he said, and the Lord did as Sarah did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age and set a time in which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his God who was born, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. So he said it three times so we'd get it. Repetition is a good way to learn. And the second thing we need to do is to memorize Scripture. Now, I know it's hard for people to do that. It takes work. But to me, memorizing the Word of God is a better education than seminary. It's a better education than a Bible college. Just remember Scripture. Now, Linda and I have put together a list, if you would be interested, in a lot of Scriptures that we have pulled from the Word of God. And if you put them on 3x5 cards and you work at it, you can memorize them. And we put them in such an order that you can think your way through the Scripture. If you will take the time to memorize those passages. And the third thing is to meditate, to ruminate on what we learn. So we have repetition, memorization, and meditation. Those three things. Repetition, memorization, and meditation, that's how we learn. Now that word meditation is to ruminate on it. That means you think about it. Bobby, that means you think about it when you're on the tractor. God will bring in one of those passages that you've learned, those memory verses in your mind, and you'll start thinking about it. And you'll think about it more and more, and you'll begin to connect the dots. And the more you memorize Scripture, the more you meditate on it. And that's the beauty of Bible study and learning. That is a way to learn the Word of God. And the first thing you know, you have a knowledge of the Word of God. Now think about that. To me, that's exciting when you memorize the Word of God. Now here, and something he's going to teach us tonight, he took away Abram and Sarah back in Sarai back when they worked out a patent with each other. They said, look, if we ever get into a situation among the Canaanites and people who hate us and people who, you're a beautiful woman, and what they're going to do is they're going to kill me and take you. So let's work out this little deal. You say you're my sister, right? Now that's a half-truth because she really was his half-sister. But a half-truth is a what? That's a lie. And he kept doing that, and it kept bailing him out until he ran into Abimelech. And Abimelech took it away from him. What Abimelech did is he knocked that prop out from under Abram. He could no longer depend on that. Now he has to now trust the living God. He can't do it himself. So here we go. He says it three times. The Lord visited Sarah. It's time for her to have a child. Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. He came at the appointed time. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived. Now watch this. Now she's 90, folks. And bore Abraham a son in his old age. He's 100. At a set time of which God had spoken to him. God has a time for everything under heaven. You say, listen, if God tarries, have you ever said that? Raise your hand. Watch, God doesn't tarry. He has got a schedule. He keeps his schedule. Okay, that's important to realize. And then God's word, it becomes God's work. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Laughter. Now remember, she did the same thing. Because she laughed. Now Abraham's doing the same thing. Both of them responded the same way because of their age and their physical abilities. They laughed. They said, what? I'm going to bear a child? And like I said last time, from this old geezer? I mean, we understand that, don't we? I mean, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. Now then, verse 4. Then Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now here's what Abraham's doing here. He's now living his work of faith. He's doing what God told him to do. He's not shirking his responsibility. God said, circumcise them. He's doing it. It's a work of faith. He's doing his work. Now we're called, Scripture says, to work. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created by God unto good works, wherefore God has foreordained that we should walk in them. That is, we're not saved just to go to church. We're saved for a special purpose. God has a work for us. Now, I want to take a little pause right here, and let's find out about that. In verse 4, it says, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac. That was his work of faith when he was 8 days old, and God, as God has commanded him. Turn in our Bibles to James. There's a passage in James that says, faith without works is what? Do you know? Dead. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. But faith without works is dead. Now what he's saying is, our faith produces in us a work. Now, I call this a work of faith. Look in James chapter 2, verse 14. Look at this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Now that would be Abraham's circumcision of Isaac, because God told him to do it. That's work. That's something he had to do. Can faith save him? Can the kind of faith that does not produce works save him? No. The kind of faith that does not produce works, or I'll put it this way, the kind of faith that does not produce is not saving faith. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to him, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's a dead faith. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It is a dead faith. It is a dead faith that will not save. The faith that will save us, the faith that we place in Jesus Christ, is a faith that will work. It will produce. Now, it's my opinion that we all are given by God a faith work, something that God has put us on this earth to accomplish. He's given us a work to do, and He's equipped us to do that. He's equipped us with these gifts that we talk about, the faith gifts, the administration gifts, the teaching gifts. He's given us those gifts so that we can work, so that we can use these gifts to build on the foundation of the body of Christ. That's why He equips us. Said simply, we're not saved to sit, we're saved to work. Amen? We're saved to do our thing. And when Abraham circumcised Isaac, that was his work. That was his work. Now look over, let's just flip over a page from where you are. And look in verse 21. This is James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now watch this. God is testing Abraham, and there's a couple of words I'm going to give you tonight that I want you to know. God is testing Abraham when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. Now, we're going to find out that's what's going to happen in chapter 22. That's what's going to happen. That's going to be his final exam. This was Abraham's final exam when he offered Isaac on that altar. And then he says, do you not see that faith was working together by his works? And by his works, faith was made complete? God gave Abraham a final exam. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. That is, when that happened, and it built up so, I mean, the tension was so great. And we're going to see how it gets there tonight. How the tension builds and builds and builds and builds. And we're going to see that. You see that a man is not justified... You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? This is verse 25. When she received the messengers and sent them out another way, she hid the spies. That was her work of faith. Now, if you go back through Hebrews 11, does Hebrews 11 bring anything into your mind? This whole list of faithful people. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, by faith, by faith. They did something by their faith. Their faith motivated a work. And that work completed it. That was a work of faith. Now, we've all been given a work of faith. Everyone in this room. You've been equipped to do it. You've been given a spiritual gift to do it. And we're going to be judged for how we carry out that work of faith one day at the judgment seat of Christ. That is, if your gift of teaching the Bible, that's your gift, and you're not teaching the Bible, you're not doing it. If your gift is administration and you're not administration the body of Christ, you're not doing it. If your gift is encouragement and you're not encouraging people on a regular basis, you're not doing it. You're not doing your work of faith. Now, that circumcision we talked about a while ago, when he circumcised Isaac, that was his, at that point, he was walking by faith. He was doing what God told him to do. God says, circumcise him on the eighth day, and that's exactly what he did. And when Rahab here, when she hid those spies, remember that? She hid those spies, that was her work of faith. There's no place in Rahab's life that we ever saw where she trusted Christ. That's a jaw dropper, isn't it? How did we know she did? She hid the spies. That was her work of faith. She did what God told her to do. And God has given I'm going to say it again, everybody in this room, something that you alone are going to be able to accomplish. That's exciting to me. I love my gift of teaching and I enjoy doing it. And I want to reign with Christ one day in His kingdom. And to the extent of that reign is based on how I carry out my giftedness for God, my work of faith. Now look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, if your faith in Jesus Christ does not produce that work, then it's a dead faith. Can you catch that? It is a faith that's not living. Now, we work at different capacities. If your gift is teaching, you teach at different capacities. Some of you teach children. Some of you teach middle adults. Some of you teach older adults. You have a different teaching gift from one another. But let's get back to our passage in Genesis 21. What I want you to see here is when Abraham circumcised Isaac, he was doing what God told him to do. So he was doing his work of faith. That's exactly what he was doing. And that's important to realize. Now look down in verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. What is that? That's repetition. Repeat. 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 Over and over and over again. And finally, when you leave this Bible study, you say, well, you know, I know what was repeated over and over again. I got it. I heard it. And that's what God wants us to do in His Word. He says, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Depends on what you want to emphasize. He is a faithful God. He will do in our lives what He has ordained to do. You can relax. Isn't that good to know? That's good to know. He's going to accomplish in your life what He wants to accomplish. So let's move on. It says then, he was 100 and verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And the whole deal is she's way too old and she's barren. And all who hear will laugh with me. What she's saying is down through history, every time we read this, we're going to what? Laugh. And we do. We say, how can that be? How can that be? How can? And Hebrews talks about that. God gave her the ability to conceive seed at 90 years of age. That's amazing stuff. Verse 7, she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? He's doing the same thing again, repetition. For I have borne him a son in his old age. Is she excited or what? She's excited. What God said was going to happen has now happened. God is a God of His Word. That's what she wants us to know. I have borne him a son in his old age. Now I want to go back to this one more time. Repetition, memorization, meditation. Remember those words. Repetition, memorization, meditation. Please, please memorize Scripture. I'm begging my disciples, those that God sends into my life, that's the first thing I introduce to them. Memorize the Word. Now we categorize it in a way that they can memorize it. It takes work, but to the extent that you do that, you will be a success. You will grow. You will learn. So do that. Memorize the Word. It's that simple. Repetition teaches. Memorization, verses, and meditate, that rumination, that chewing on what you're learning. What the cow does when he chews the cud, swallows it, brings it back up, chews on it some more. Chews on it some more. Chews on it some more. And then finally you say, I got it. Now see, that's the final exam. We've been testing all along. God's testing us all throughout our life. He's bringing tests into our lives. That's the word pirazo. To test in order to teach. But then there's that final exam. That's dokimazo. That's to test in order to see how you've turned out. Have you learned it? Have you gotten it? Do you have it? Do you finally have it? He sends test after test after test after test after test. And if you're like me, I keep flunking it and flunking it and flunking it and flunking it and flunking it because I find my own ways to bail myself out. Now, what we have now is what I call, what my mentor called, the weaning of Abraham. It says in verse 8, so the child grew and was weaned, And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. First of all, it was a miracle that he was born, that he was even here. Now he's weaning him. Well, what they did back in the ancient world, back in the East, is they had a party. They had a feast to wean that child. And everybody came and everybody admired that child. And I imagine he was so sore before the day was over from being held. But it's not really the weaning of Isaac here that we're going to see. It's the weaning of Abraham. Look in verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Now here's what's happening. Ishmael is hazing Isaac. They're having a little brotherly conflict, except one is much older than the other. Ishmael's picking on Isaac. Picking on him. And it does that worry a mom? Is she wanting to get involved and take over? That's exactly what Sarah did. She said, this is not going to happen. We're not going to let this happen. Sar scoffing. Verse 9. Look in verse 10. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Translation, Ishmael's not going to count. Hagar is not going to count. Now that's brutal, isn't it? But here's what deep in Abraham's mind is his love for Ishmael. Because that in his mind had become his heir. I mean, he was thinking, God, are you sure a 90-year-old woman can give me a son or I can make it happen? See, he's having those second thoughts all the time. But he's got I don't like to use these terms in church, but he's got an ace in the hole. And his ace in the hole is Ishmael. As long as he has Ishmael, he knows he's got an heir. Okay? So he's rocking along fine. But here's what happens. Watch this. And the matter, that is the hazing, was very displeasing in Abram's sight because of his son. 1 Peter 1:7 is one of the best. That says this, basically, the testing of our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. That is, when God is testing our faith, He's putting us out there where we have to trust Him. That's those little tests that we take in school all during the school year. We're learning and growing and taking those tests and getting ready for the final exam, getting ready to indicate whether we have learned anything or not, whether we finally made the grade. That's that final exam. Now that's the word dokimazo in the Greek, and I love that word. And the word that's used when you are being tested along, that's perismos or perazo. That's the same idea. That's the test that you take in the classroom as you go along. That's the test that God brings into your life to teach you to walk by faith. He'll bring one after the other, after the other, after the other. You have a choice. You can either trust yourself to do it, or you can begin to trust Him. Even when everything looks so black and dark and dank, you say, God, you can't possibly be involved in this to help me. But He can. And He will. And I've learned in my own personal life that when I finally let go of me trying to do it, you know what? God does it. And He does it in ways that I could never imagine. In beautiful ways. But all He's asking me to do is let go. That's all He wants me to do. Is trust Him. As long as we keep trying to help Him, what's He going to do? He's going to let us try to help Him. He's going to say, go for it. Keep going for it. Keep doing it. Until we get to that point where we say, and I told Linda tonight, He gets us in a corner where He says, if I don't do it, it's not going to be done. That's where He wants us to be. And that's where He's taken Abraham at this point. That's where He's taken him. He's taken him to that dokimazo, that final exam. Now He's using all of these perizos, that's those tests as He works along, strengthen our faith. God's found to be faithful, waiting for the big deal, waiting for the big test, the big exam. He's got that in mind for Abraham, and that's coming up quickly. And we're going to find out if Abraham really has believed God during this time in chapter 22. I promise you we will. We'll get there. It says in verse 11, let's go back to verse 10, the scoffing part, the hazing part. Therefore she said to Abraham, this is the wife, cast out the bondwoman and her son, but the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing to Abram's sight because of his son. Which son?
Ishmael.
That was his ace in the hole. I mean, one Ishmael in the hand is worth how many in Isaac's right now in the bush? When you come up against a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man. I got Ishmael. As long as I got Ishmael, I have that same idea of if I'm ever in jeopardy with my life, I can say, you're my sister. Do you get the picture? Until God takes that away, he doesn't strengthen Abraham's faith. Now, let's see what he does with Ishmael here. It became displeasing in your sight. Verse 11, the matter was very displeasing to Abraham's sight. He's displeased with what Sarah has said. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Take them away. Because that bondwoman shall not be heir with my son. Her son will not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. That's really the whole essence of the Word of God. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight, I love this, because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Now here's this. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. Listen to her voice. In Isaac shall your seed be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because of your seed. That's blessing by association. I'm not going to forget, Abraham, that Ishmael is your son. I'm not going to forget that. I'm not going to just throw him out. I've got a plan for him. I'm going to bless you. That's blessing by association. And we've been blessed in this nation by association with other believers. Believers in America has kept us where we are as long as we've been here. Our influence. That's blessing by association. Our voting. Our work. Our integrity. Our character. Has kept our nation afloat. Blessing by association. Verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning. I love this. Didn't wait. And took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent them away. You know, that reminds me of when Moses, you remember the Jochebed and Moses and the little ark and the bulrushes? And when Jochebed, with all the motherly instincts that you could put in the mom that God put in there, she loved that kid. But she knew he was under the edict of Pharaoh and death. So what did she do? She what? Shoved him out into the very hands of God. That's exactly what Abraham had done here. He shoved out Ishmael into the very hands of God. But what he's saying there is, God, if this is going to happen, it's not going to be with Ishmael. But God's fixing to change that. Now watch what happens. And he sent her away. That's a tough, tough thing to do. For a dad and for a son. Think of it. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. That's very important. So right now, Abraham had let go of his assurance. He's let go of his ace in the hole. And the water in the skin was used up. This is the water that he had given to Hagar and Ishmael to live on. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat up opposite to him and lifted up her voice and wept. She's crying. She loves her child. And God, I love this, heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God, Malach Jehovah, the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, it's called a theophany. A theophany. Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar?" As if he didn't know. "Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." In verse 19 it says, God opened her eyes. That's a very important, underline that. Now he didn't open her physical eyes, they were already there. He opened the eyes of her heart, and she saw a well of water. Now listen to me, the well of water had been there all along. But God then gave her eyes to see. It was right there. Does God do that with us? Does he do it in the Word? Sometimes he gives us eyes to see what's in here. That's how he teaches. It's called illumination. That's how he teaches us. He gave her eyes to see the water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. I wish I could say a lot about him. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife from him from the land of Egypt. Now that shows her heart. She goes back to her home. Egypt is still in her. She goes back to her home to get a wife for her son. That tells me she's not a believer. Does that make sense? And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech, now run into old Abimelech again. I liked Abimelech. I'll show you why in just a moment. Abimelech and Phicol. Who would name a child Phicol? Who would do that? The commander of his army spoke to Abram saying, God is with you in all that you do. How would you like to be on your epitaph? God is with you in all that you do. I would love that, wouldn't you? I would love somebody to say of me, God is with him in all that he does. Now therefore, this is a Canaanite speaking, Abimelech, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity. Now he knew that God was with him. So he's saying, I want you on my side, is what he's saying. But that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. Here's what he's saying. Let's be friends. Now he was sent to Canaan. He was sent from one of the darkest places on the planet, Ur of the Chaldees, to an even darker place. Now he was sent there for one reason, to be a light. To witness for the living God. To the Canaanites. And he lived with them, we're going to see this, for 25 years he lived there. But it's always good to make friends with people that are neighbors, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Make friends with them. Do that. Work hard. Let's be friends, is what he's saying. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. See, Abraham had dug the well, and now Abimelech's people had seized the well. That's the idea. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard it until today. In other words, I didn't know that my guys had taken over your well. The well that you dug, Abraham. My guys took it over. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Abraham wanted them to be close friends. I love what Benjamin Netanyahu said, BB of Israel said. He said, I always keep my friends close, but my enemies closer. Let that settle with you for a little while. And the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs. Now, ewe lamb is a little female lamb that has not been weaned. 7 ewe lambs of a flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves?" Verse 30. And he said, this is Abraham talking to him, "You will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well." Every time you look at one of these ewe lambs, you will remember who dug the well. Abraham. That's what he's saying. I did it. They became little memorials. Can you see that? Therefore, he called the place Beersheba. Now, that's, it tells it right here, because the two of them swore an oath there. The well of the oath is what it would be called. Or the well of the ewe lambs. Same word. The well of the oath. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Now, the land of the Philistines wasn't very far. Because, remember, Abraham at this time and his family lived right next door. And God had called him there to be a light to the Canaanites. But what happened in history? The Canaanites began to what? Impact the Jews, big time. Verse 33, "Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." He called on the name of the Lord. Has Abraham come far? He's come far, hadn't he? God has taught him to walk by faith. He's giving him test after test. And remember, it happened way long time ago when he was moving down into Canaan, and it said, and the famine came on the land. Now, it was God's will that he go nowhere. It was God's will that he learn to trust him to meet his needs during the famine. So what did Abram do? He scurried to Egypt, didn't he? He went to where he knew was food. But he's learning. That's what I'm saying. All the time, he's learning to trust God. And he's doing the same thing with us. He's putting us through a lot of pirmazos. A lot of them. Some of you know what they are. When there's too much month for the money. When children are sick, don't know what's going on. Grandchildren are sick, you don't know what's wrong with them. When you hear from a doctor, it doesn't look good. Things like that. He's putting us through a lot of those tests. But we have a final exam coming called a dokimazo. And what that final exam is meant to show is, have you learned to trust me? And those people who have learned to trust me, or trust God rather, those people who have learned that are the ones who will one day reign with Jesus Christ. Because they'll be doing their giftedness in the body of Christ. He called on the name of the Lord, everlasting God, and Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. He stayed there 25 years. But he's got a final exam coming. He's got a dokimazo coming. Now he's going through all of these adventures to get to this one point. And remember, he had Ishmael as an ace in the hole. He no longer has Ishmael. Is that going to make the offering of Isaac any more important? Think about that a minute. Is it going to make it crucial? Stay tuned for coming attractions next week. Any questions that you have?